The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What does a legitimate abduction look like? We're going to talk about that. And compare and contrast as to what we know, what's been happening here in this horrific Nancy Guthrie situation. Your thoughts in the comment section, weigh in right now. Give them to me. On Substack or on our YouTube, the links are in the descriptions. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're at right now so you don't miss any of this. Here's the thing that keeps showing up in cases like this. In virtually every abduction that's ever been studied, FBI data, behavioral analysis units, decades of post-incident research, investigators find the same thing when they rewind the clock. The predator was watching before they ever moved. Not minutes before, days, sometimes weeks. And in almost every single case, somebody in the victim's orbit saw something that didn't feel right. They noticed something out of place, so they did nothing about it because they didn't know what they were looking at. That's the gap. That is the space where these crimes live and breathe, the space between, not in the moment someone gets taken, but in the days and weeks before when the groundwork is being laid in plain sight. Just nobody knows what they're looking at, except for one person. And if you want a real-time illustration of how that looks and what it looks like, look at what happened to Nancy Guthrie, the 84-year-old woman living alone in a rural community outside Tucson, Arizona. On the night of January 31st, her family drops her off after dinner. Garage door opens at 9:48, closes 2 minutes later. That's the last confirmed moment anyone she loved saw her, allegedly. Then at 1:47 in the morning, her doorbell camera disconnects. Not malfunctions, disconnects. 25 minutes later, at 2:12, a second camera software detects a person on the property, but there's no video. Why? Because no one had an active subscription to save the footage. 16 minutes after that, her pacemaker app shows its lost connection to her phone. By morning, Nancy Guthrie is gone. Her phone is still in the house. Her medications are still in the house. She is not. And here's what hits you when you sit with those details. That level of precision doesn't come from impulse. Whoever moved on that house that night knew what they were walking into. They knew about the cameras. They knew how to neutralize them. They knew when she'd be alone. That kind of operational awareness doesn't materialize out of thin air. It gets built. It gets gathered. Even though it does seem somewhat simplistic, you do have to kind of know. Do they have a camera here? Do they have a camera there? And it appears they did. Whoever they are. That information gathering. It's important. Because every abduction, whether it's a kidnapping or a ransom, a targeted home invasion or a stranger grab off the street, it follows a cycle. Security professionals call it the attack cycle. The FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit has studied it across hundreds of cases, and the stages are consistent. Target selection, surveillance planning, and then deployment. The deployment, the actual taking, is almost always the shortest phase. It's the fast, it's violent, and by the time it's happening, it's essentially already over. The surveillance phase is where the real crime takes shape. It's where the predator is most exposed, most vulnerable to being caught, and where the people around the target have the most power to change the outcome. But most people don't know that. Most people are focused on the dramatic moment, the broken door, the missing person, the 911 call. The real story is everything that happened before any of that. And the research backs this up in ways that you should be aware of. Studies of criminal planning patterns have found that roughly 90% of victims in documented abduction cases recalled noticing something suspicious before the crime happened. 90%. They saw the car that didn't belong. They noticed the person who lingered a little too long. They had that feeling in the back of their neck, and they let it go. I mean, look at the Koberger case. Lots of reports of weird behavior, strange behavior, bizarre activity from somebody nobody knew at the time. And it turns out it was probably Brian Koberger. But maybe that's what makes it so difficult these days, is the amount of information that our brains are trying to process, the amount that's coming at us at any given time. We are so overloaded. We are so overwhelmed. We're not equipped to be able to decipher it to a level that maybe we would have, in a different place in time, been a little better at. And here's what I'm saying about that, is we get so much coming at us from every which direction, whether it be online, social, real life, the people. I mean, there's a lot of places. And years ago, we didn't have as much noise coming at us from all directions at all times. But that just kind of seems to be how we're living these days. So the ability to notice when something is off, when something is a little weird, it's a lot easier to dismiss. Not because we want to, not because we're being careless or foolish, but because it's more noise in a world that's already filled with so much of it. And we're not, our brains are not equipped to be able to be that accurate at picking out every single little thing that might be off. And these predators know that, because when they are studying this, when they're figuring out what they're going to do, who they're going to go after, they know they're going to blend in with the noise. That's their goal. And they know to do it well. So let's talk about what predators are actually looking for when they're in the target selection phase, because it's not random. It's calculation, a cold, deliberate risk-benefit analysis, and understanding that is the first step towards actually disrupting it. First, they're looking for isolation. People who live alone in setback properties without neighbors, who have a clear line of sight, long driveways, properties bordered by open desert or wooded areas or golf courses. The irony is brutal. The very features that make a home feel peaceful and private are the same features that make it attractive to someone casing it for a crime. Dense landscaping that blocks a view from the street, no foot traffic, limited ambient lighting, a house where someone could approach at 2 a.m. and not a single soul would see them. Second, they're looking for predictability, fixed routine, same dinner every Saturday night, same church every Sunday morning, same lights off at the same time. Kidnappers and abduction planners build what professionals call a pattern of life on their targets. And the more rigid that pattern is, the wider the operational window becomes. If a predator knows exactly where you'll be and exactly when your home will be empty, they don't need to be sophisticated. They just need to be patient. Third, they're assessing perceived vulnerability. Research going back decades, studies done with incarcerated offenders, FBI victimology reports, behavioral analysis consistently shows that predators assess their targets physically. Gait, body type, apparent fitness level, awareness. An elderly person living independently, particularly one with visible physical limitation, signals both potential value and low resistance. That's not a comfortable thing to say, but it is what the data shows. And fourth, and this is the one that connects directly to what happened in Tucson, they're cataloging security gaps. Cameras that exist but aren't recording. Doorbell systems that can be physically removed from a wall, alarm systems that aren't monitored, smart home devices running outdated firmware, the appearance of security without the substance of it. And this is where it gets deeply unsettling, because Nancy Guthrie had cameras. She had that doorbell camera. But the one system that might have captured the person on her property, it wasn't saving footage because no one was paying for the cloud storage subscription. The security infrastructure, it looked present. Functionally, at the moment it mattered most, it wasn't. Why? Because this sort of thing just doesn't seem to happen around there. Doesn't really happen anywhere, to be completely honest. Kidnappings are not a common thing at the end of the day. And you're like, well, it must happen all the time. No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. There's not a lot of kidnappings like this for ransom. In a scenario of this, especially with elderly people, it's like less than 100 a year. So, well, got to be prepared. Yeah, I mean, you can. You sure? You should, I guess. But I can also understand why she wasn't. 84 years old, got along this good this far. This peaceful of a life, lived there for a long time, newer neighbors, newer community. There wasn't a big uptick in crime or problems or anything that would make one go, better make sure that we got this going on. Where your Ring doorbell cameras are used more so to catch wildlife playing in your yard than predators. That's the reality. I know far more people who sent me pictures of squirrels or the neighbor's cat or a dog or a coyote or insert animal here, insert non-threatening animal here that gets caught on the Ring cameras or the Nest cameras than actual crimes or predators. And hey, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that that's a majority of what's being caught. But the reality is it's not the only thing. Let's talk about what the surveillance phase actually looks like in practice, because this is where the public's understanding completely falls apart. When most people think of something being watched, they picture a figure in a dark car with binoculars. That's Hollywood. In reality, hostile surveillance looks ordinary. It looks like the delivery driver who shows up one too many times, the jogger who runs at the same route past your house at slightly different hours, the person parked at the end of the street looking at their phone a little too intently. It blends. That's the entire point. The U.S. government teaches a surveillance detection framework called TED. Time, environment, distance, and demeanor. The principle is straightforward. If you see the same person or vehicle at different times, in different environments, across varying distances from you, it's not coincidence. It's surveillance. The fourth element, demeanor, is the easiest to spot if you're looking, because here's the part that should both terrify and empower you. Most criminals are terrible at surveillance. They linger too long, they overdress or underdress for the environment, they check behind themselves too frequently, they make eye contact, and then they look away too fast. The mistakes are there. The tells are there. The problem has never been that predators are invisible. The problem is we've collectively trained ourselves not to look. And that brings us to what might be the most uncomfortable piece of all of this, and it's a principle that applies to every targeted abduction that's ever been profiled. The insider question. In kidnapping for ransom cases specifically, Security consultancies and FBI case reviews have documented a consistent pattern. Abductors frequently attempt to recruit or leverage someone who already has access to the target. Household staff, service workers, contractors, landscapers, anyone who's been inside the house and can answer the question that external surveillance alone cannot. What's the alarm code? What cameras are actually functional? Which doors lock and which ones stick? When does she go to bed? When is she completely alone? In the Guthrie investigation, Sheriff Nanos confirmed that Nancy had house staff and that some of them had been in contact with law enforcement. That's what Nanos said. And as we know, Nanos has been super reliable and accurate. Oh, wait, he's not at all. But let's say what he's saying is true. Because it is standard procedure. Investigators in every targeted abduction case look inward before they look outward. Because the most dangerous form of surveillance isn't the stranger parked on the street. It's the person who was already invited through the front door. This isn't speculation about who did what in this case. It's not. We're just talking generalities here. Nobody has been named as a suspect as of now, but the principle is ironclad and it holds across the full universe of these crimes. When an abduction shows this level of planning, when the perpetrator knew the security layout, knew the routine, knew the vulnerabilities, the first investigative question is always the same. How did they know? And think about what we know from the timeline law enforcement released. The doorbell camera didn't glitch out. It was disconnected physically at 1:47 in the morning. It's not software hiccups. It's consistent with someone who understood what that device was and what it could capture. That tells investigators, and it should tell all of us, that whatever happened to Nancy Guthrie was not impulsive. Somebody did their homework. Or did they? Or did they see it and go, oh, shit, gotta take this? I don't know. It's not an impossibility. But also, an impossibility is someone literally sitting at home going, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to go abduct Nancy Guthrie. Why not? It's 1:30 in the morning. I just finished watching reruns of Happy Days. Let's go take Nancy Guthrie. I mean, that's, somebody planned this. Or something happened. And somebody didn't want to be caught. So where does that leave us? Not just with this case, but with the broader reality of how these crimes work and what we can actually do about them. The attack cycle exists in every predatory crime. And the single most powerful point of intervention is the surveillance phase, because that's the window where the predator is exposed and where basic awareness can change the outcome. You don't need to be a former FBI agent to recognize when something is off. You just need to be present. You need to notice the car that doesn't belong on your street. You need to register the person who's looking at your house instead of walking past it. You need to recognize when your routines have become so fixed and so visible that a stranger with bad intentions could set a clock by them. It's not victim blaming. This is just general awareness. This is not, in no way, I'm not even talking about Nancy Guthrie. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about being more aware of our settings. And for families with elderly relatives living independently, this part is for you specifically. The vulnerability profile is real, and it's compounding. Isolation, predictability, security systems that exist in name only. A camera that's not recording is not security. It's a prop. An alarm that's not monitored is not a deterrent. It's decoration. And a routine so rigid that it broadcasts your loved one's whereabouts to anyone paying attention is not stability. It is a roadmap. None of this is about fear. It's about awareness. It's about understanding that the crime doesn't begin when the door opens at 2 in the morning. It begins days or weeks earlier when someone starts watching and nobody watches back. The predator's greatest advantage has never been strength. It's never been speed or weapons or some mastermind level brilliance. In case after case, the advantage is simpler and more devastating than any of that. It's the fact that most people just aren't paying attention. And every predator who's ever moved on a target is counting on exactly that. We, of course, want nothing but a positive outcome here in this case. And let's hope that we still get it. You may be watching this after the outcome has been revealed, or I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's been revealed. Seems like we've come to a conclusion. You may be watching it then. None of what I said goes away just because we reached that conclusion. Everything we talked about in this video is applicable for anyone out there. At any point in time, no matter how this story ends, we need to be more aware of our surroundings. Because we're living in a world that is relying on us being distracted more and more every day, and we are willingly becoming distracted. And I think in a lot of ways, not even aware of that fact. Or the cause and effect of that fact. That while we have so many more distractions in our life, we're all going, I wish I could be more present. I wish I could, you know what I'm talking about? That feeling of like, I wish I was more there. Well, there's more to it than just feeling better about yourself or feeling like you're being more engaged and present with the people you're caring about. Your safety is also at play as well. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube or Substack. The links are in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. Come join us there. There's no paywall. You can interact and comment on any of our cases and, in fact, get our reporting a day before everybody else gets it. So go check it out now, hiddenkillers.substack.com. And if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms, do check out those. If you're not, if you're watching us, go press subscribe on the podcast so you take us in audio form with you wherever you go. You can listen to us in the car, on your walks, in your workout, at the gym, whatever it may be. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts. That's where you'll find us. All right. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll continue our conversation in the comments, and we'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.